Thank you to have hope. I don't know if you know this, but the first Advent is actually the candle of hope, and we celebrate hope. And you know what? It's not a thing that everybody has. Let's be honest. Not everybody is hopeful. Lots of people are looking at their future and going, I don't know what's going to take me. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. And there's a lot of angst, whatever you want to say, in our world. But you know what? We have hope. Isn't that great? And you shouldn't be keeping that to yourself, folks. You should be spreading that around as much as you possibly can. Well, guess what? You're here. We're here. December the 1st. Can you believe it? Yeah. We're here. It's the first Advent. Okay, let me ask you this. How many of you have actually started your Christmas shopping? Okay, let me ask you, how many of you actually finished your Christmas shopping? Stuart, you didn't buy for anybody. That's why you're done, right? So a few of the ladies this week, God help them, they went across the line down to the States for Black Friday. I think there's something wrong with that. But here's the thing. I think there's something wrong with me because I didn't realize it was Black Friday. So Patricia and I, we had to go and pick something up from the mall. Yeah, exactly. From Guildford Mall. And we walk in there and we're like, well, before we get there, we're driving in. We're thinking there's a lot of cars here. And it hit us. It's Black Friday. Now, I don't shop. I think shopping is of the devil, personally. Yeah, the best shopping is sitting at home on Amazon or something like that. I'm good with that. But to go to the mall, and then on Black Friday, I went to the mall, and there's people. There's so many people. And they've all got sharp elbows, and they're trying to get everything they want, and you're in their way, and it wasn't very fun. But we somehow survived. Can I remind you of something here this morning, folks? Can I remind you that Christmas, it's not about the gifts. Christmas is not about the trees. It's not about the Santa Claus. It's not about the spiked eggnog, which none of us drink. Right? It's about a birthday of a king, isn't it? The birthday of a king. And I want to introduce him to you here this morning. And you know, when you introduce someone to someone, there's usually a description of that person, of who that person is, and maybe some of their qualities. So I introduce you to Pastor Les. Pastor Les is my support pastor. Pastor Les is a very wise man. Pastor Les is one that is a great teacher, and he knows how to play golf very well. So if you want to play golf, go with Pastor Les. Let me introduce you to my wife, Michelle. She loves it when I do this. She loves it. So she's a great mother. She's a great wife. And she's all around gorgeous. I'm starting a new series today and for the month of December. And we want to talk about loving Jesus here this month. And what I want to do this morning is I want to talk to you about who he is. I want to point out to you a few of his amazing qualities. Oh, Peter, you are a saint. Bless you. Thank you. Yeah, he knows that. Thank you. I want to point out a few of his qualities that we find in Scripture. And so what I'm going to ask you to do is I'm going to ask you to stand. And I want you to grab your Bibles. You've all got them. You remember these things? Now, some of you may have the printed version. Some of you may have the digital version. But can you grab your Bible and go to John chapter 1, verse 1 to 5? I've asked Cademan to come up here and help me out with this because I didn't bring my glasses and I can't see this unless you hold it back there. John chapter 1, verses 1 to 5, and we're going to read that as well as verses 12 to 13. Come on up here, mister. And read that out for us, if you would, please.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And verse 12. Yet To all who did not, who did receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God.
Awesome, thank you. So if you don't know Cademan, he's one of the guys that comes to us and helps us out on Tuesday night at Youth. Give it up for Cademan, thank you. And Father, we thank you for your word here this morning. We thank you that it gives us a good depiction of who Jesus actually is. And as we take time to look into it this morning, God, would you open up our hearts, open up our minds to receive from you that you would be glorified in your name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. If I could introduce Jesus to you, I would like to introduce him to you in a number of different ways. The first way is I want to introduce to you him to you as being the Lord. If you jump from, take your Bibles and go a little bit further to the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 2, verse 10 to 11 says this. It says, at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is what? Is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now the term Lord is not something that we use a lot unless you're reciting a Shakespearean play. You don't come up to somebody and say, how are you doing, thou, my Lord? But it was something that was used a lot back there in that time. And basically, it was a term of respect. It was, if we could put it in our context today, it was like boss, okay? I don't get that a lot. I don't have people come in. I'm not talking about the respect thing, but in the office, they don't call me boss, which is probably a good thing because I don't really like it. But it's a term of respect. And it's interesting because all creation knows that he is boss. All creation knows that he is Lord. And it says here in Philippians chapter 2, at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth. It's funny, a number of years ago, I was talking to an individual and he said to me, when I get to heaven, he says, I ain't bowing no knee to Jesus. He says, I'm going to turn my back on him. And I thought, first of all, when you get to heaven, buddy, not like that you're getting to heaven. I'm just saying. And secondly, there is no way you're going to be turning your back on Jesus when you stand before him someday. There is absolutely no way. Because see, here's the thing. One day, we will all bow our knees before the Lord. But how about we start practicing that now? Are you with me? That is something that we should be exercising on a daily basis and saying, Lord, we surrender. Lord, we commit our lives to you. So the term Lord was boss, but it went further than that. See, what happened is that after Jesus rose from the dead, all of a sudden the term Lord took on a new type of connotation. Jesus as Lord was now reflective of who he was in the whole context of deity. If you jump to John chapter 20, verse 28, we find that Jesus died, he rose again. The disciples are locked in a room. They're going through some stuff. Their master is gone. And now somebody had said they'd seen him and they're confused. And all of a sudden the scripture tells us that Jesus appears in that room. And there's one guy that for a whole week was agonizing because others had seen him and he had not. The guy's name was Thomas. So Thomas is standing and all of a sudden Jesus appears and he walks up to Thomas and says, Thomas. Let's talk. I'm paraphrasing. This is the Wesleyan version. It says, Thomas, let's talk. Do you not know? Do you not see? Look, Thomas, look at my hands. Look at my feet. Look at my side, Thomas. And the scripture says at that time, Thomas took one look at him and he said, does anybody remember what he said? My Lord and my God. Now, contrary to what Jehovah's Witnesses tell you, he wasn't swearing saying, oh my God. He was saying, my Lord and my God. And he fell in full submission and surrender to the Lord. Now let's jump back to John chapter 1, verse 1. It says this, in the beginning was the Word, And the Word was with God, and the Word was what? Was God. He was with God in the beginning. The Word, the revelation of God, it was not in written pages. It was in a human body. It was not simply a set of laws, as in the Old Testament, or principles or rules, but it was a personal. He was a personal being, fully divine and fully human. And it tells us in John chapter 1, verse 14, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Now, let me tell you something, folks. Jesus was no 6-foot blonde-haired, pale-faced guy wearing a white dress. Okay? As Hollywood depicts him, Jesus wasn't some skinny runt looking of a person. I have a real problem when I see pictures like that. See, because Jesus, he is the awesome, almighty, righteous one. He is the judge. He is the deliverer. He is a victorious warrior. He is forever faithful, full of wisdom, love, and power. He is our sovereign, our all-powerful, our all-knowing king. He is the one to whom all mankind will someday fall in complete submission. That's our Lord. That's our Lord. And dear friends, I want to introduce you to him. His name is Jesus. I want to introduce you to our Lord. Where is he in your life? The saying is, if the Lord Jesus isn't Lord of all, he isn't Lord at all in our lives. Is he Lord of all in all that we do? First of all, he's the Lord. Secondly, he is life. It says here in verse 3 that through him all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. You know, I find it very difficult when I run into certain people and they have this concept or this problem that I call Eeyore-ism, okay? You know who I'm talking about, Eeyore from Winnie the Pooh. Does anybody not know who Winnie the Pooh is? Good, just checking. So let me talk about Eeyore for just a second. So if you read or listen to Winnie the Pooh, especially if you listen to some of the things, some of the shows, Pooh, for example, comes to him one morning and says, good morning, Eeyore. And he says, it is a good morning, which I doubt. Or Owl comes to him and said, Christopher Robin is giving a party. And Eeyore says, I suppose they will be sending me down the odd bits that got trotted on. Or he looks at, comes to a river and he looks himself in a reflection in the river and he says, pathetic. What a pathetic being that one is. You know, It's frustrating enough when you hear it on the cartoons. It's even more frustrating when you hear it from individuals, especially if they're Christian individuals. Are you following me? Okay. I kind of like Tigger. You know what I'm talking about. Tigger. T-I-double-ger-E-R, right? That spells Tigger. He bounces around life. He enjoys every moment. He's the eternal optimist. I love one of his quotes. One of his quotes says, we just need to get you Tiggerized. Okay, now you're sitting there going, wow, Wes, you've really lost it. How in the world does that got anything to do with Jesus? Well, see, I believe that we need more eternal Tiggers when it comes to the kingdom of Christ. And I don't think that you can always be a Tigger, okay? I think we all go through our challenges, but I don't think it's possible as a believer to be a continuous Eeyore either. Are you following me? Let me explain something to you. Christ is the creator. Christ is the sustainer. Christ is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning. He is the end of all. It tells us in Colossians chapter 1, verse 16, it says, for by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Now listen, folks, the entire universe is held together by this this incredible person called Jesus. Everything is held together in its complexity and it's in its splendor. He owns everything and everything bows to the Creator. See, the same Jesus that holds all things together has his hand outstretched to us into our life and says, I want to lead you. I want to strengthen you. I want to give you the power. I want to give you life. And I wonder if we're allowing him to pour that life into our lives. See, I believe there should be more Tiggers in the kingdom of heaven than Eeyores. I think there should be more people full of life, the life of Christ. In Christian terms, people that are more like Jesus than are killjoys. Now, that's not a Christian term, but you know what I'm saying. We should be more like Christ. And you know what? Interesting. If you jump to John chapter 10, verse 10, the second part, it says this, I have come that they may have what? They may have what?
Life.
You can say it a little bit louder. They have what?
Life.
Yeah, they have. Give some life to that word. They have life and have it in the abundance, have it in the full. See, here's what I believe. I believe that if you take time with the life giver, it's going to rub off on you. Are you hearing me? If we take time with Christ and we are in his presence and enjoying his presence, his life will be poured into us. And I'm wondering, what is stealing life from us? What is stealing our joy? What is it that keeps us Eeyore-ish? Now, listen, I know there are some people that there are medical issues. They need different pills and whatever to help them with depression. I get that. And if that's you, take your medication. It's important. But I think sometimes as Christians, we are not full of joy. We're not full of life because we're not full of Christ. And we need more of him in our lives, folks. So what steals our joy? See, the first part says here, the thief comes only to steal and kill and to destroy. Can I encourage you, guard against the thief? Guard against the devil in your life. Guard against him because he's going to come at you from every possible angle he can to try to steal that life from you. Let me introduce you to Jesus. He is life. Let me introduce you to Jesus. He is light. He is light. Here's what it says in verse 4. That life was the light of men. Now, what does that mean? What does that mean that Jesus is light? Well, I have a flashlight at home, but I ran out of batteries. And I was too cheap to buy batteries, so I brought the next best thing, and I brought one of my lights. See that? There you go. Can you see it? Is that bright enough for you? Yeah, okay. Jesus is light. Is light. And so what does that mean? Well, let me tell you a few things about light. Light, first of all, light brings growth. Light brings growth. We have this plant in our downstairs, and it's a fern, I think. Right. It's doing okay, isn't it? No, it's not doing okay. Okay, Trish said it's not. Maybe I'll give it to you for a couple of days, Trish, and you can take care of it. But I tell you, it's doing a lot better than a plant that I saw in my former youth pastor's office. And his office office got no light. It's when you turn off the switch, like it's dead dark. And this plant was this little string, you know, no leaves on it, and just kind of you sit there and it's brown and it, you know, it's not doing too well. See, here's the thing, folks. You need light to grow, don't you? Plants need light to grow. You need Christ's light in your life if you're going to be growing. You need him to expose those areas in our lives, in your life, that may be in a dark place. You need Christ to shine into that area so that he can expose that and he can bring that new light and that strength. Not just physical growth, but that spiritual, emotional, mental growth that you all need, that we all need. Light brings growth. Secondly, light, it dispels darkness. I've asked you this many, many times. How much darkness do you have to bring into the room to put out that light? Come on, how much darkness do you have to bring? Like, can somebody go get me some darkness so we can put out this light? What do you mean you can't? Well, there's a possibility right there. But the truth is, regardless of how much darkness, that light cannot be extinguished. Are you following me? Light dispels darkness. If you look at verse 5 here in John, it says this: the light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. Now, it's not like the darkness is scratching its head and going, what in the world is this light all about? Maybe there are times where darkness does that, but it's not that darkness didn't understand it. Darkness refused it. Refused the light. Okay. It is 4:30 in the morning. Okay? And your spouse gets up and turns on the light. And it burns your retinas out, right? Right? It's happened. Has it happened to you before? You know, you're going, what are you doing? I love doing that to my kids. They don't like it for some reason, but I love doing that to my kid. And the thing is that light, when it comes to darkness, darkness can't stand the being in the presence of light, and it dispels that darkness. And see, here's the thing: sin doesn't want to be exposed. And again, I said it earlier: if there are areas where there is darkness in your life, can I encourage you? Let God's light shine in there. Because here's the thing, you don't want to hang on to that sin. You don't want it part of your life. You want it gone, because it will destroy you. Like the plant that is sitting in a dark room will die. It will die, right, Trish? Ultimately, it will die. So your spiritual life will die if you don't deal with the darkness that tries to creep or that has crept into your life. I love what it says in 1 John 1:9. If you remember, it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from what? All unrighteousness. God, help us to be in a place where we confess and allow the light to shine in. Light brings growth. Light actually guides as well, doesn't it? Now, I've used this illustration before. That's okay. I remember one time we were hiking. I love hiking. If you want to go hiking, you don't know who to take, I'm here, okay? Just saying. And Daniel will go with you as well. But I love hiking. But here's the thing about hiking. It's not a good idea to hike at night. How many know that that's the truth? How many know it's really not a good idea to hike at night without a flashlight? Yeah, it's not a good idea. I've done it. Of course I have, right? We were coming down a mountain one time, and it got dark real fast. You know, it's interesting how many roots just jump out of the ground and stones and stuff like that. When you, they weren't there before, but all of a sudden you're tripping all over yourself and ultimately you get hurt, don't you? We need Christ's light to guide us. I love, and you know where I'm going with this. I love Psalm 119 verse 105. It says, your word is a what? A lamp to my feet and a what? A light to my path. Your word is a light. Who is the word? Who is the word from John chapter 1? Jesus. Jesus is a guide. He's the one that will guide you. Let me introduce you to Jesus. He is light. Lastly, let me introduce you to Jesus. He is love. He is love. It says here in verse 12, yet to all those who received him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. You know, there's nothing more heartwarming than to see a healthy family, right? I got a couple of pictures that I thought would just kind of emphasize this. Here's my first one. Now, if you don't know who this one is, ask Bonnie Bidles, because that's her daughter-in-law and her granddaughter. And is Dakota here? Dakota? Yeah, there they are. They're right there. Look, isn't that great? Isn't that beautiful? It's a good picture of a healthy family. You guys are beautiful. I'll give you a hug later on, but I won't do that right now. But it's nothing more beautiful than having a healthy family. It's nothing more disturbing than to see an abusive family unit. I get news feeds quite regularly, and this week I got a news feed from a family down in the Ukraine. Actually, there were two sisters. They were 5 and 1 years old, and they were so neglected by their alcoholic mother, and they were starving so much that they were peeling wallpaper off the wall and eating it, and eating styrofoam. And I saw pictures of the house where they lived, and I thought, dear Jesus, the toilet didn't work, so they used the bathtub. Of course, they didn't wash. And the same news feed sent me something about something that happened in New York. There was a 46-year-old dad whose 14-year-old son was suicidal. So he handed him a shotgun. And he said, I'm not making this stuff up. This is stuff that's happened this week. He handed him a shotgun. He said, listen, do it. End it all. You know what I'm thinking? I'm thinking I would like to go up to the parents and give them a good... Well, I won't say that. But I would like to give them a good swat and say, what are you thinking? And then I'd love to grab those kids and pull them out of that situation and say, there is a better way. There is someone that loves you, and let me just show you love and do something to care for him. See, that's the heart of Jesus. That is the heart of Jesus. Let me jump back here. It says, to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right, he gave the privilege, he gave the honor, the dignity to become children of God. Not born naturally, but God handpicked us. God handpicked us to be part of his family. Listen, I want you to get this. You were chosen by God. Can you get that? Do you understand that? See, it's not that you were born into the family. Like my kids, please pray for them because they're dads, and it's not always easy to be a dad. They're born into this family, but God chose you to be part of his family. Listen, Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 4 to 6 says this, even before he made the world, even before he created everything, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. That's pretty cool. I thought I'd get a little bit of excitement there. Yeah, amen, hallelujah. Now that's good. That's good stuff. God's word is good. He chose you and me to be part of his family because he loved us. I want you to think about something. I want you to think about Colossians chapter 1, verse 21. It says, once you were alienated from God, you were enemies in your mind because of your evil behavior. In that state, or maybe I should say even before that state, God looked at you and said, yeah, I want you part of my family. Amen. I love you so much, I want you to be part of my extended family. Folks, you got to understand the love of Christ for you. You got to understand how much he loves you. This series is called Loving Jesus. He has shown his love to us. I'm wondering, how does that reciprocate? How do we show our love for him? How do we represent and show him that, Jesus, you are so important to us? I'm going to ask Steve and the team to come back up here at this time. And I want us, in closing here today, to stop and look at ourselves and look at our relationship with Jesus. And really, I challenge you to examine what that looks like. How much are we loving Jesus? And I'm going to ask you here this morning, I don't know everybody here, Maybe you're here and you say, I don't even have a relationship with Jesus, let alone know what it means to love him. And maybe you're here today and God is speaking to you and he's speaking to your heart and he's saying, you know, now is the time. This is the day. This is the day to make it right. This is a day where you can have a relationship with the creator of the universe. God tells us in his word that to all who call on him, he gives the right to become his children. And let's just bow our heads in prayer at this time. And if you're here this morning and you're saying, you know what, I'm not there, Wes. I really want to have that relationship with the King of the universe. I want you to take one step here today, first step, and say, I just need prayer. I just need prayer. And I want to pray for you here this morning. And I'm asking you to put up your hand in just a second. And by doing so, you're putting up your hand to Jesus and saying, Jesus, I surrender. We, in pre-service prayer, they're playing the song, I Surrender All. Beautiful song. And saying, Jesus, I surrender, but you're putting up your hand for me to see so I can pray for you. And I want to give you something. If that's you here this morning and you don't have a relationship with God and you want to make it right, can I ask you to put up your hand right now? I want to pray for you. Praise God. If you're here this morning and it's not where it should be, your relationship with God is not where it should be, this is a chance to get back to where you, or maybe you're in a place right now in your life where you're going through challenges and struggles and maybe even disappointments. I'm going to call the prayer team up at this time. And if you need prayer in some area of your life, whatever that looks like, they're here to pray with you. And they're here to agree with you for victories where you may feel there's been defeat. So Father, in Jesus' name, as we have talked about your incredible son and how much he has done for us, we thank you for that. Lord, we ask today that you would help us to give to him, to surrender to him. Lord, to allow him to heal those areas in our life that feel like they're falling apart, to bring restoration where there has been brokenness. So God, as we take some time here in prayer together, in Jesus' name, would you speak to your people? Would you encourage them? And God, would you meet them where they are at so they would be able to carry on in the strength and the power of the Holy Spirit in your name? Amen. Why don't we stay?